You don't stop needing information just because you left the car. That's why News Radio 92.3 goes with you. On your phone, on your computer, wherever you are. Stream us live or download the News Radio 92.3 app. Stay connected to local news, breaking updates, and conversations that matter, even when you're not near radio.
And that's a good thing.
It's News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. Informative. Local. Dependable. Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Well, I'm on my way. I don't know where I'm going. I'm on my way. I'm taking my time, but I don't know where. Goodbye to Rose, the queen of Corona. See me and Julio down by the schoolyard.
Good morning, 8:10 here on News Radio 92.3. Happy Friday. Julio Diaz joins us now. He is the host of Let's Go Pensacola, 4 o'clock here on Saturdays on News Radio, and also the Pensacola Movie Club. Follow them on Facebook, watch a movie, talk about a movie. It's a cool thing. And he'll be here for the wrap in about 25 minutes or so. Julio, welcome back, sir.
Hey, good morning, Andrew.
Good morning. The drama, I don't mean surrounding you, I mean the movie. How was it?
It was good. So this is what happens. This is about what happens when a president breaks up with his attorney general. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. This is starring Robert Pattinson and Zendaya. They play an engaged couple. They're about to get married. Their wedding is maybe 2 weeks away at the start of the movie. And they go out to dinner with their close friends who are going to be their best man and maid of honor.
Okay.
And who are also a married couple. And the best man and maid of honor start talking about, oh, we did this thing where we told each other the worst thing we ever did. And, they kind of forced them into doing the same thing after telling them what their worst things were.
I see.
And so a secret comes out in the process, and I do not want to spoil it.
Of course.
Because everything kind of hinges on this. And all kinds of chaos ensues because of this secret coming out, leading into the wedding and everything that their whole lives, basically.
Sure.
Now, this sounds like a serious drama. It's not. It is a very dark comedy. It is actually a really funny movie, and I really enjoyed it. I think the performances are really great, not just Robert Pattinson and Zendaya, but I also really enjoyed Alana Haim as the maid of honor. You saw Licorice Pizza. She was the female lead in Licorice Pizza. She's also a member of the band Haim, great musician, great band. And becoming quite a great actress, too, I think. I really, really enjoyed this movie. That being said, two things I'll say here. It's not for everybody. This is definitely for grown-ups, which, doesn't really have any kid appeal anyway.
Sure.
And it's pretty polarizing amongst the grown-ups, too. Some of the people that talked to you last night absolutely hated it. Some absolutely loved it. There's some in the middle. If you go on Metacritic, which I know we don't talk about Metacritic as much as we talk about Rotten Tomatoes, but Metacritic is actually maybe a little better gauge of critical consensus than Rotten Tomatoes is, because Rotten Tomatoes is kind of a pass-fail percentage.
Right.
Whereas Metacritic is more of a calculated average. But there are reviews going from 100% to 0% on Metacritic.
Wow.
So,
okay.
Very much a polarizing film, but I think one that's worth seeing.
Well, you know me. I am a very dark comedy and eager to see and laugh, so most likely I'll find the comedy in it. But good warning or good note about how you may love it, you may hate it, no promises. Super Mario Galaxy, of course, is the big marquee movie that's going to make gobs of money this weekend, right?
Yeah, everybody's going to go see this, including me. I'll probably go see it as well. The first one was enjoyable enough. My daughter wants to see it as my big reason, which I think is going to be the big reason for, 85% of the people that go to see this is because they have kids or they're millennials. Younger Gen X. They grew up with the characters and they just love that universe. It's got a built-in audience. There's nothing that I can say or do or that anybody else can say or do that's going to keep this from making, probably $300 million and probably $1 billion worldwide. That being said, the critics are certainly trying to throw a blue shell at this movie. there's your Mario Kart reference, if you know.
Blue shell's good. I thought blue shell made you go like super fast, and red shell's bad.
You're right. Oh, see, you just throw my geek cred, Andy. You're right.
Like, I play Mario Kart. I know blue shells are good.
The Matrix versus Mario. You know, it's easy to get them confused.
That's funny.
The critics are trying their best to keep people away from this. 44% on Rotten Tomatoes, so not great reviews. But, you know, like I said, this is bulletproof. It's bullet Bob proof even. I got that one right.
By the way, it's funny, now that I say it out loud, the green shells come at you. I thought the red shells are defense. Anyway, look, we're going to move past the metaphor or the analogies here. What are you going to watch next week? Do you know yet?
Not sure yet, but we'll definitely have that out there as soon as we figure that out.
All right, very good. Julio Diaz, he really does know his pop culture a ton. He's one of the key organizers of Pensacon, but he is also the host of Let's Go Pensacola, 4 o'clock on Saturdays, and also the Facebook group Pensacola Movie Club. Join them, follow along. Julio, as always, great to talk to you, and I look forward to talking again in about 25 minutes.
All right, thanks, Andrew.
All right. PJ has got traffic on the fives. The Transgressive Memorial Service comes up next. Find out why Brother Andrew is canceling Christy Gnome. PJ with traffic.
Traffic is brought to you by Marcus Point Baptist Church and their Community Sunrise Service, Easter Sunday, 6:15 a.m. at the Wahoo Stadium. Visit PensacolaEaster.org for more details. Taking a look at the big board, we do have a vehicle crash with injuries, U.S. 29 at East Kingsfield Road in Cantonment. They're saying there's a roadblock associated with that. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Hello, this is Mary with Howard Young Flooring. Shopping for flooring can be a little overwhelming. At Howard Young Flooring, we are here to help you any way we can and answer any questions you may have so that you can make knowledgeable decisions. We understand the importance of each and every customer and would like to thank you for allowing us into your homes. For those we have not met, we hope to see you soon. Visit us today at 4333 Avalon Boulevard in Milton. We look forward to covering your future.
Tune in to Retire Right Radio, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, Sundays at 1 with Paul Roberts. Find out how their certified advisors can help you enjoy your retirement income. Financial security is about more than investments. Roberts Wealth can help you live your values and trust your future planning every step of the way. Don't miss Retire Right Radio, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, this Sunday at 1 p.m.
Investment advisory services offered by Foundations Investment Advisor Services, LLC, SEC. Registered advisors.
News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 is accepting applications for employment. Periodically, we have openings in sales, business, news, promotions, engineering, production, and programming. We'll keep your application for consideration when such an opening occurs. We also provide internships for qualified students. Apply online at News Radio 92.3 or at our studios at 7251 Plantation Road between 8:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. ADX Communications is an equal opportunity employer.
For almost two decades, Bella Magazine has been celebrating the women of the greater Pensacola community. The tradition continues as Bella Magazine brings print to radio every month on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Tune in today at 9 to hear latest health and wellness, philanthropy, stories on local businesses and women, fashion and beauty, home and garden, food and wine, travel stories, and more. That's the Bella Magazine Show, today at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
When storms pop up fast, it helps to already know where to go.
We've got all the details.
News Radio 92.3.
92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today for the Transgressors Memorial Service, remembering those who have transgressed against the great spirit of inclusion and must forever be cast into the abyss of dead names. Let's join Brother Andrew remembering those who we have lost.
Our first remembrance is for Jaden Ivey, who until this week was a basketball player for the Chicago Bulls. On Monday, the Bulls released Ivey for what they called, quote, conduct detrimental to the team, end quote, because of a video he posted to social media. Now, I want to warn you, this is pretty toxic and upsetting stuff, and it might be best to cover little ears in the congregation.
The world can proclaim LGBTQ. They proclaim Pride Month and the NBA. They proclaim it. They show it to the world. They say, come join us for Pride Month, to celebrate unrighteousness. They proclaim it. They proclaim it on the billboards. They proclaim it in the streets. Unrighteousness.
Okay. How's everybody doing? I know it's hard to hear, but you needed to know for yourself what's out there and that these monsters are everywhere around us all the time. But that's why we're so proud of the Bulls for ending their relationship with Ivy after he had the audacity to so brazenly espouse what the haters euphemistically call traditional values, and to say there's something wrong with any of the 219 officially recognized shades of rainbow people. What's so upsetting about this incident, of course, is that we really thought we'd made a lot more progress than this. Oh, obviously, we know that such people exist, but we really thought we'd scared them into silence with all the really effective cancellations and social media attacks. Just when you think you're winning the battle of suppressing such hateful ideas, some random athlete has the audacity to pull an anti-Kaepernick. See, when our people protest and oppose by, say, kneeling during the national anthem, it's a virtue. Not because they're standing up for what they believe, but because they're standing down for what we believe. So obviously, when someone stands up for what we oppose, well, that's the whole reason we cancel people. So boo on you, Jaden Ivey, and maybe now the next anti-LGBTQ athlete will learn the lesson that we expect them to just shut up and dribble. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Second, former Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem, for what she's done to her husband. Now, in case you haven't been following this story, dear other, and it's really a twist-up, the arch-conservative Republican family has been rocked by the disclosure that Brian Noem secretly engaged in a variety of sexual fetishist activities, sent pictures of himself to other women, and even paid adult entertainers up to $25 a minute to talk with him while he, for example, cross-dressed as an extremely well-endowed woman using an oversized bosom prosthetic and tight shirt and hot pants, among other things. For those of you who have completed your advanced coursework in nonlinear sexual alternativity, you will immediately recognize this as a form of bimbofication fetish or acting out a highly exaggerated hypersexual femininity. But of course, we have no problem with what Brian did, does, or ever will do in private or in public, in straight or in drag, for free or for money. None of that bothers us. In fact, we celebrate him as he is clearly one of us underneath it all, or at least underneath some of it. What his wife did to him, on the other hand, is unacceptable. Kristi has said she didn't know about any of this and is devastated by the revelations. But taking that claim as authentic only makes this story so much worse. You see, it's one thing for Brian to engage in what we consider to be perfectly normal behavior, even imaginative role-playing. We might even add another B to the holy acronym string in this honor to add the bimbofficationists out there. Brian is who he is, except for when he's trying so hard to be someone he isn't, and that's just fine. Who are we to ever judge someone for their quirks and their kinks? As the 56th rule of wokeness reminds us, deviance is normal, and normalcy is deviant. We also support the loudest, proudest flying of any freak flag you own. We even once considered calling ourselves fetish people instead of rainbow people, but we settled for LGBTQIA, of course now plus F and B as well. No, the real transgression here is the obvious way that Brian Noem has had to endure the repression and isolation that comes from being married to someone who obviously made him feel so ashamed of who he is that he couldn't even share it with her. The fact that he didn't feel safe telling her his truth indicates that she'd created an atmosphere of judgment and fear of rejection inside their marriage. If she'd been more understanding and accepting, he wouldn't have felt marginalized into hiding his true self from her and then sending those pictures and that money to those strange women. Now, granted, we don't normally prefer to criticize the woman when there's a man available to take the blame, but in this case, he's not a man, or at least he clearly doesn't want to be. And for a man with such an unusual case of bosom dysmorphia, the pain of knowing he couldn't even tell his wife about his real self must have been horrid. And look at how she reacted after. He was caught, exposed, and she's still criticizing him, proof that he was right all along not to trust her with his deepest, darkest, most thinly veneered secrets. As we've always explained, nobody would choose to be gay, since being gay is a socially discouraged orientation. Likewise, we know that nobody would choose to put on such absurdly large augmentation prosthetics, take photos, and send them to other people, since that is even more obviously socially unpalatable. Therefore, he must have been born this way. And who can judge a person for being what they were born to be? So for being a transvestite fetishist who had to keep his true self secret all this time in shame, we see you. In truth, how could we not see you? And we feel for you. Likewise, how could we not feel for you? We know your disguise was stretched too thin, and we wish you could have been we could have been there to lift and separate it for you ourselves. Brian Noam, you may have gotten busted. Really busted. But Christy Noam is the one who is canceled. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Finally, this week's Holy Birkenstock of Doublespeak Award with blue, green, and purple embellishment goes to the tech giant Google for using artificial intelligence to rewrite the headlines contained in their search results page. What started as a test feature of Google Discover is now just the way Google displays search results, wherein the AI will rewrite the actual headline of a news article so that when you see the 10 blue links page, it will have an AI summary at the top as well as AI-modified headlines below. In other words, Google is now actively editing the web page summaries to make them more googly. Now, I know at first it might seem bad that Google's editing headlines with AI but without notification, but that's just because you're all still so attached to these childish notions like truth and that content should come from humans. Oh, sure, the actual authors may put time and skill into the articles and the headlines and then get edited by some invisible, unannounced editor in the cloud, but that's a good thing. Observe how many people are trusting the AI summaries despite knowing they aren't really reliable, in fact, often being exactly false. That's okay, because we're training people to be intellectually lazy and to not care much about whether answers score high on some imaginary truthiness scale. Remember the goal. In order to control a population, you must stop people from thinking for themselves. The hard way to do this is to actively prevent it through censorship and suppression, which is difficult, and the people resist. The easy way to do it is to destroy in them the very ability to actually think well, and then you don't have to worry if they try to do it for themselves, because they can't. And trust me when I say a population that relies on the AI summaries and doesn't mind having the headlines changed, since, truth be told, that's all they read sometimes, will soon not even bother reading original source reporting. A great triumph for our cause. Soon they'll just float gently down the stream of occasionally accurate internet information like the rest of the lemmings. I mean voters. And follow whatever guidance the professional distorters of fact at the Ministry of Truth tell them to believe. It's all coming together, comrades. So for unlocking achievements and undermining public confidence in the third degree and reimagining truth in the second degree, we celebrate you, Google. All hail the digital overlords and pass the intellectual gruel. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Finally, before you leave, one geological note, as it is what the Christians call Good Friday, leading up to Easter this Sunday. Now, I know some of you have already had your level 3 gospel resistance training and are fairly safe from the subtle temptations to be evangelized by a surprise encounter with an actual Christian. For the rest of you, always keep this in mind. The main deception Christians want you to believe is that Gaia, of course they call her God and claim that she's a he, as if, will accept you based on the sacrifice of Jesus Christ and not based on your own good deeds or virtue signals. Obviously, we know the truth, that everyone has to earn their own way to true virtuification by being woker and woker all the time. Gaia and her followers will only accept you if you are constantly living up to her impossible standards, vehemently canceling others for even their most minor transgressions, and practicing regular self-congratulations for all your own good deeds. Also, you can mess up just one time and lose it all. So rather than the Christian theory that you can know God and have total confidence in his forgiveness of you once and for all eternity through Jesus, we want you to remain ever uncertain, stressed out, and unsure of your real place in this world or the next. That's the holy anxiety of wokeness you're all trying to achieve. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
And now, brethren, sistren, and otheren, having been cleansed of these hurtful words, give each other the holy virtue signal and go forth and transgress no more.
828 News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. PJ is in for John Pickens today with Traffic on the Fives.
Traffic's brought to you by Knox Pest Control. Their family serving your family since 1929. For information on a free pest or termite quote, visit KnoxPest.com. Taking a look at the big board, still just dealing with that vehicle crash and injuries. US 29 at Kingsfield Road. They're saying there's a roadblock associated with that. I'm PJ with your traffic on the Fives.
Thanks so much, PJ. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Good morning, gentlemen. An airstrike on Iran's tallest bridge being followed by a warning from President Trump. Iranian state TV reporting that several people were killed in that attack. The president posted a clip of the attack to Truth Social, along with the message, "It's time for Iran to make a deal before it is too late." Artemis 2 is now officially bound for the moon. A roughly 6-minute engine burn pushed Orion out of Earth orbit last night, committing the crew into their lunar trajectory. It's NASA's first crewed mission towards the moon since 1972. Of course, three Americans, one Canadian astronaut on board. They're scheduled to fly by the surface of the moon on Monday. And the Department of Health and Human Services and U.S. Environmental Protection Agency getting a look at the risks of microplastics and pharmaceuticals in drinking water. The agency's announcing yesterday that those two contaminants are now on a list of things found in water that are not currently subject to any national regulations.
All right, David, thank you so much for the update. 829 on News Radio 92.3. Hey, quick note. I just put up a Facebook post about this, but mentioned it earlier. The commanding officer for the Artemis II mission, Reed Wiseman, captain retired for the U.S. Navy, did, in fact, train at Whiting Field. I just got confirmation yesterday from Sinatra Chief of Naval Air Training in Corpus Christi because about two-thirds of pilots get their fixed-wing training at Whiting. About a third go to Corpus, but he did back in the late 90s, got winged at NAS Whiting Field. So, yes, he in fact took or is taking Pensacola and Milton to the moon. And, of course, the other officer that got to NAS Pensacola as well. So we got one and a half for both of our two bases.
Jalosi, the U.S. blowing up Iran's largest bridge.
That obviously, the U.S. says, could be used for military supply routes, but it is a civilian infrastructure target, and that marks a significant step up in this war. President Trump warning more is to come.
Fox's Jonathan Hunt. Now several countries are joining in efforts to try to reopen the Strait of Hormuz.
President Trump has been warning that foreign countries that heavily rely on the strait need to take the lead against Iranian terror. Well, in London yesterday, 40 countries joined a virtual meeting to discuss the urgent need to diplomatically restore the flow on the Strait of Hormuz. The British foreign minister says Iran has recklessly hijacked the strait.
Fox's Matt Finn reporting from Dubai. Employers added 178,000 jobs last month, more than economists had expected. Unemployment rate sank to 4.3%. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 8:31 at News Radio 92.3, and right now we've got cloudy skies. It is 70 degrees. Our full forecast with Brooke Richardson is on the way here in just a few minutes. A major shift in military policy yesterday. Service members on U.S. military bases will now be able to carry their personal firearms while they're off duty. It's a big reversal of a longstanding Department of War policy. Secretary of War Pete Hegseth signing that memo on Thursday, saying the previous rules left troops vulnerable.
Before today, it was virtually impossible. Most people probably don't know this. It was virtually impossible for War Department personnel to get permission to carry and store their own personal weapons aligned with the state laws where we operate our installations. I mean, effectively, our bases across the country were gun-free zones. Unless you're training or unless you are a military policeman, you couldn't carry, you couldn't bring your own firearm for your own personal protection on to post. Well, that's no longer.
And installation commanders will retain authority over those individual requests, but any denials have to be put in writing with a detailed explanation. Well, one of the biggest practical benefits of UWF's move to Division I athletics will be felt on the recruiting trail. Athletic Director Dave Scott says Argo coaches have always gone after Division I caliber talent, but competing against D1 programs for those athletes was an uphill battle. But that changes now.
Yeah, I think if you asked our coaches, we've always recruited Division I talent to be competitive at the level that we play. Now the difference is when you're talking to that student athlete that you might be recruiting against a MAC school or somebody else, we will be Division I. So it'll open up, I think, that opportunity to recruit student athletes that might have been looking at other institutions because they considered us a Division II institution.
UWF will begin competing in the Atlantic Sun Conference and the United Athletic Conference football division this fall as part of a three-year reclassification process. The full NCAA postseason eligibility will begin in 2029. Florida's Attorney General taking a major step towards allowing public money to flow to religious institutions. Attorney General James Uthmeyer issuing a legal opinion yesterday declaring the state constitution's ban on funding religious institutions unconstitutional. He says his office won't enforce it. The move could open the door to publicly funded religious charter schools and state scholarships for students attending Christian colleges. Uthmeyer says states are not bound by the federal establishment clause and can encourage religion. It is 8:34 here at News Radio 92.3. A Mary Esther man facing 30 counts of child pornography possession after investigators searched his home as part of an online distribution investigation. The Okaloosa County Sheriff's Office says Dennis Cornelison admitted to possessing those files after deputies executed a search warrant at his home. The investigation was a joint effort between the Okaloosa Sheriff's Office, Homeland Security Unit, Federal Homeland Security Investigations, and the Florida Department of Law Enforcement. 8:35. Let's get a check on our traffic on the fives with PJ.
Still working that vehicle crash with injuries. US 29 at East Kingsfield Road in Cantonment. They're saying there's a roadblock associated with that. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
We are going to be looking at partly cloudy skies. High today near 77 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 67. For Saturday, mostly sunny skies. High near 80 degrees. Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 65. Looking at some showers and thunderstorms on Sunday. 80% chance of rain, especially through the morning and afternoon. High near 76. Sunday night, temperatures dropping near 52. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. 72 degrees right now. We've got cloudy skies. Your next news at 9 a.m. We've got breaking news anytime it happens. And taking a look at our financial headlines for today. Of course, Wall Street is closed for Good Friday today.
Trading on Thursday wrapped up with stocks mixed today after President Trump addressed the nation and indicated the war against Iran would carry on. Thursday's closing bell saw the Dow Jones Industrial Average lose 61 points to close at 46,504. The S&P 500 gained 7 to 65.82, and the NASDAQ jumped 38 points to 21,879. I'm Tammy Trujillo.
Thank you very much, Tammy. The monthly jobs report being released this morning, and it has beaten expectations. Most analysts were expecting to see that non-farm payrolls grew by about 60,000 in March. That number a lot higher, 178,000. Today's jump following a loss of 92,000 jobs shown in the previous month's report from the Bureau of Labor Statistics. The unemployment rate little changed at 4.3%. Well, gas prices closing out the week at $4.09 for a nationwide average. AAA putting today's national average for regular gas a penny ahead of yesterday. Prices are the highest, of course, in California. A gallon of gas there going for $5.89 on average. Amazon's adding a 3.5% surcharge for third-party sellers because of rising fuel prices. The new fee goes into effect for some services April 17th. It expands May 2nd. Comes as the Postal Service, UPS, and FedEx are all hiking their own surcharges as well. And for our travelers out there, United Airlines passengers are going to have to pay just a bit more to check their bags. The airline announcing Thursday that it is raising checked bag fees by $10. This comes as the airline industry is dealing with an 80% hike in jet fuel costs as well. This change would put the prepaid checked bag fee at about $45 for most United customers. It is 8:38. Our next news at 9, breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
You know what keeps most people up at night?
It's not politics.
It's money. Dave Ramsey helps you take control of it one decision at a time. Real callers, real situations, and straight talk about getting out of debt, building wealth, and finally telling your money where to go.
Where to go.
Instead of wondering where it went.
Where it went.
Dave Ramsey, weeknights 7 to 10 on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. Informative,
informative,
local,
local,
dependable.
Dependable.
The hip, the hip, the hip, the hip, the hip, hip, hobby, you don't stop.
Rap, 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 rap.
I will definitely call you back later then.
Come on, wrap it up.
Big sharpen up.
Okay, you know what? Wrap up the Sharkle thing. Come on.
Mr. Parker, wrap it up, please.
Okay.
Okay, everybody, that's a wrap.
That's a wrap. It is the end of the week. It's a chance to talk with good friends about the news of the day. And just a quick, not a correction yet, because I'm not sure. I may have gotten it wrong, though. I was reporting that our, I know. Well, hey, you know.
Is this correct, about correct? The blue shell versus the red shell?
No. This is about the astronauts who went through their fixed-wing training at Whiting or Corpus Christi. Captain Weissman did do at Whiting, and Captain, I know it's Victor Glover, did it at Corpus Christi. And I think in my story I said that he would have gotten winged here, but I've been told that they get their, I thought maybe winging is only for the helicopter pilots because they finish. Maybe for fixed wing, the winging takes place like at their ultimate destination where they get their advanced training, like one in the F-14 and one in the F-18. I'm sorry if I got that wrong, and I'll make I
should 100% know this since my daughter is dating a pilot in the Marines.
I just always assumed it took place in the mountains surrounding Pensacola. That's where you get your wings of gold. Right?
It's not in the tunnels. It's not in the tunnels.
The mountains. The wings of gold. Oh, that intro was awesome. So good.
Thank you. Okay. Wow. All right. So,
I have another story that goes along with that.
Oh, please,
I'll let you introduce
Pensacola Wings of Gold.
Let's intro you because we haven't said it yet officially. Julio is a familiar voice. Hi, Craig is you. Julio Diaz is here. Craig Heinzman is here. Welcome, gentlemen. Good to have you for the wrap.
What's up, guys?
Thank you.
So, go ahead.
So, we have the current series that's on Apple TV Plus, Monarch: Legacy of Monsters. This is in the Godzilla King Kong MonsterVerse.
Yes.
Right. We probably all know by now that, like, Godzilla versus Kong, Godzilla made landfill in Pensacola.
He did.
Landfall, not landfill.
Don't forget Atlantic Rim also.
Yeah. Well, yes. But that was shot here.
Right.
They pretended it wasn't Pensacola, but that
pretty
was shot
key
here.
And right.
Yeah. So, but with the Godzilla movie, it was the opposite. It wasn't shot here, but they made out that it was Pensacola. And there's a big scene where they had to go to Chinatown to talk to somebody. And,
you know, in Pensacola.
Yeah, the Pensacola Chinatown. So this new series that's on Apple TV Plus, the second season is on now. And there, again, Pensacola plays a role in this show because one of the big companies that's involved in this series is this company called Apex Technologies, apparently headquartered in Pensacola.
Hmm.
So they go to the first establishing shot, you know, title comes at Pensacola, Florida. They actually, to their credit, used a shot of the Pensacola coastline.
Nice.
Okay, all right, good. That's good.
And then, you know, they go through the course and they go into the building for Apex Technology and they're like, oh, well, this is down in the sub-basement.
Yes.
Of course.
Yes, of course it is.
Because there's sub-basements in Pensacola.
Well, only the, under Palafox.
The only basements I know about are the tunnels or the
new...
The eye guy's got the basement that used to be the bank.
That's true, but there's also the new subs, you know, structure they're building under Palafox, which is the whole reason we're doing Palafox.
Oh,
much
right.
Like the White House. But, the whole reason we're doing the ballroom is for the bunker underneath.
We're building Palafox for the underground.
Palafox is for all, right. You know,
but,
all the rich people to go underneath.
But I'm a sub-basement is below a basement. There are a few basements. There are no sub-basements.
That's true.
That's true. All right, so I don't know where you guys want to start. Well, actually, I know where Julio wants to start. And this is interesting because the wrap is usually, let's talk about the news of the week. And in this case, you want to talk about the not-yet news of the week. And that's an important reason why you want to talk about it, right?
Yeah, you know, there has not been any new development on the Bay Center project in a little while now, and you know, granted, I do have some invested self-interest in this, in that I work for Pensacon.
Right.
But granted, what we as well.
Yeah.
But I mean, the whole
Sportsman's Night
community, I think, has, you know, vested interest in it. It seems to me, from what I hear around the community, that most people are in favor of some kind of expansion and upgrade of that facility, and at least some part of the plan that's been presented to the county by Legends Global. I know there's some people differing about certain aspects of it, but everybody wants something done. I feel like the county commission wants something done, but I feel like nobody wants to be the first one to say, yeah, let's do it, because they don't want to. I'm just guessing.
Well, you know, it's interesting because I mean, Ashley Hofberger, it's obviously her district,
right.
But it's election year, you know, and it's also election year for Mike Kohler. And, you know, I don't know which way this cuts for you. Is it, hey, we're the big spenders and that's bad, or hey, we're the big spenders and we're going to do the cool thing and that's good, you know?
I honestly wonder if you look at the Palafox project and what's going on there, and is it kind of like, let's let that get done and in the back end of the news cycle, and then we'll bring this up. I know it's completely different because it's city versus county, but at the same time, you know, how you see things is how the public see things is how we see things. And
Well, sure, but I mean, even if they approve this tomorrow, which they're not going to be because they don't meet on a Saturday.
You mean metaphorically tomorrow.
Yeah, metaphorically tomorrow. It's not like they're going to go break ground on Sunday.
Right.
You know.
Well, there is the joint meeting comes up on, I think it's the 16th, yeah, if I'm not mistaken. So the city and the county, and it's not, I don't think there's been any news yet, but there probably will be out of that meeting.
Well, we definitely need it. There's no doubt that the basic has to be renovated and has to have extra space. Anyone that's done anything in that facility knows there are extreme limitations to that facility. It's a great facility, but especially Pensacon and those kind of things, we need the extra space. I think the biggest hiccup with the very first rendering, and I know they came out with a second one, was the parking situation.
Which is yet to be solved in any way, right?
Here's what the solution to that, in my opinion, needs to be, and I'm speaking for myself here, not for Pensacola.
For Pensacon.
For Pensacon. Well, for Pensacola either. I'm speaking for me personally. There's that whole parcel of land right next to there that we laughingly call the Pensacola Technology Park. Stop trying to make fetch happen, Gretchen. It's not going to happen. There's never going to be a technology park on that ground. Put a parking.
It's hard to figure out another solution because that solution seems so obvious. It will, of course, cost money to do that. Yeah. But still, you know,
that's city property as far as I know. Let the city build on it. Let the city build the garage, and the city can reap all the money from all the parking.
Well, the county, is it city property or is it county property?
Either
I don't line. Actually
I
know.
It's,
I
think it's county.
I thought it was county. I thought it was county property.
But I also think, pretty sure. What it's all of our city garages are they fund themselves,
yeah,
you know, with the parking fees. But those things are expensive. I'm going to say they're $30,000 to $40,000 a parking spot.
That's right,
to build.
Per spot. That's right. That's what the price from the one that Florida West built is, you know, $40,000 a spot, which is crazy.
Yeah, but do you know what they charge to park like near the convention center in New Orleans?
Oh, sure.
Yeah, I mean, like you're talking $40.
And there's no way to do it without parking. You cannot do it without parking.
I have paid $40 to park at the parking garage across the street from the convention center in New Orleans.
Even when we go, we take the kids down south to Orlando for events that they do, you know, and this is outskirts, you know, it's parking at the hotel is, you know, $20 easy for a day for sure. Yeah. I'm with you. What we need for the Bay Center, and I always like to remind people of the kind of the basic concepts is there are three at least different goals here. Goal number one is to make the Bay Center a more modern music event venue, which is increased capacity for, you know, the light structures, for seating, for some of the, you know, higher end tickets, and also for like ramp space and things like that. Number two is convention expansion capability, which is essentially going to need a new convention center out the backside. And then the third one is the ice rink, which is kind of a thing that we're talking about.
Well,
and then
know,
along with that is a hotel to support these things as well.
And I want to, people might be surprised
actually,
to hear
I'm
me
sorry,
say this.
Can you hang on for a second, Hulo? Let me get traffic. Then PJ can stop giving me the jump pick and stink eye. PJ's got traffic on the fives.
There is a vehicle crash with injuries, US 29 southbound at East Kingsfield Road. There seems a roadblock associated with that. We are seeing some congestion as a result of that, so just use caution. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much. PJ, back to Hulu. You were going to say.
People might be surprised to hear me say this, but I want to advocate for the ice sheet. I think people don't understand why that's important. It's important for a number of reasons. One is that it can bring hockey tournaments and other ice sports tournaments to Pensacola, mm-hmm, which is a great revenue builder for the community.
And there's a big call for that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And a big skating community as well. I mean, there's both, right?
But the bigger thing is, you know, we have a hockey team here. They have to practice. Right now, when they have to practice, they have to use the Bay Center.
Right.
If we have a second sheet of ice, they can be practicing on that second sheet of ice while we have other events. It opens up the Bay Center for more concerts, more monster truck rallies, more Disney on ice, more, you know, Cirque du Soleil, more, you know, more events, period.
Right.
We can compete with the Wharf a little better, bring more stuff here to Pensacola rather than going across the state line to Orange Beach. I mean, to me, that's a win.
And be air conditioned.
And that's a slice of the convention center piece that we don't say either.
Correct.
We tend to think convention center would include the use of the Bay Center proper, but if you have an actual convention center space, now the conventions can be all, you know, Pensacon might not use any of the Bay Center theoretically, but the Bay Center could then be freed up for events, performances, all of that kind of stuff. So there's each of these pieces has an impact on the other pieces. That's exactly
don't,
right.
Don't get me wrong. We'd love to grow big enough to use
both
the Bay
right,
Center
sure.
and the convention. And I've been to conventions in other cities that do that. There are facilities like that in other communities. The main one I'm thinking of right now is in Providence, Rhode Island, that they use an entire convention center plus an entire attached arena. So, you know.
And in this conversation, again, I know some people, they kind of haven't listened to all of this before, and so it's worth knowing. The size of a ballroom, a single room in which you could have all the convention attendees or the conference attendees, more likely, to be in one place, that's key. That's got to go in the hotel. The hotel's got to be there both for the rooms and for the ballroom. So kind of all of these pieces are relevant, and that's why the price tag starts to get massive. But it's a question of if you're going to, you know, which are you going to do without doing the other ones? And they all make sense.
Well, it's an investment in the community.
Well, that's the whole point. And I go back to the downtown project. It had to get done. We knew it had to get done.
It's almost over.
But
6 weeks.
It will be done in 6 weeks. But the thing is,
seven, I guess.
Someone had to pull the trigger and say, we're going to do this. We've talked about it. We kicked the can down the road. We're going to finally just do this. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to take the political hit for doing it. And DC's done that. He said, I'm just going to get it done because... I was talking to him about it. He says, at the end of the day, when I'm out of the office, I can look down that street and go, we did that.
Yep.
Yeah.
And in spite of him being, I think, I agree with you, courageous to do it, knew it would take a political hit for doing it, even the palm trees, which makes sense. You know, the mockery comes for the dumbest of things. And then I had the audacity to pile on with my April 4th.
Oh, my God.
But you know, when we build that,
I was so mean. I
wonder
mean.
how many emails or text messages he got.
A thousand.
That afternoon.
I'm sure it was. I can't apologize because I did choose to do it. And of course, he's a practitioner too.
It was funny.
Yeah. But I'm sure there are still people to this day that are like, they're doing what? A toll booth. No.
But when we invest in the quality of life in this community, the more quality of life comes to the community.
Correct.
I was just talking to a friend last night about all the things that we don't have here. You know, people all the time are talking about how they want a Trader Joe's or they want a Whole Foods or, you know, even like, you know, chains like we don't have a Shake Shack here. I mean, it's kind of ridiculous. But when we build these things that build quality of life,
right,
we bring more money into the community and that draws more business here.
Sure.
You know, we're just finally getting a Costco. We're about to lose one of our two movie theaters.
We are. That is
which
correct.
One's closing?
The W Street one.
Oh, it's becoming a church.
That's the one we go to the most.
It's becoming a church.
Oh,
yeah, that whole property where they bought the Splash City property
as
well. That entire property has been purchased by a church, yeah.
So Splash City, I had heard
that. Splash City's already being demolished now.
Well, happy news time here. So.
We were overseas, and one of the great things I love about anywhere that you go overseas, if you go to a movie theater, mm-hmm, it's a full-on awesome experience.
It's a full, like how they build sports stadiums now within the sports city complex, right?
Yeah. Or just in the mall. I mean, you've got these nice seats. You've got an incredible experience.
And AMC is making some investment in Bayou. It's important to point that out.
Good.
They're bringing in a Dolby Auditorium, which is great. I don't know if you've gotten to go to one of those in another city, but it's a great movie-going experience. They're doing some upgrades to the IMAX Auditorium. I believe there may be some other upgrades going on. They're in the process of doing that right now.
So we lost 9 Mile.
Yeah.
Right? And then now we're losing W Street.
Right. So it'll only be Bayou.
Pretty much Bayou will be it.
Within Escambia County.
Well, they said the new property, the new Hard Rock property, supposedly was going to have some sort of cinema experience in it.
Before or after the
E-date. Yeah.
We'll talk about that. But okay, so anyway, there's one supposed to be part of that project,
well,
too?
Yeah,
you know, 9 Mile would be, you know, and of course we had a theater on 9 Mile previously,
right,
but with the growth
but
on 9 Mile now.
But an old kind of rundown. With the growth
on 9 Mile, if I was one of the cinema chains, whether it be AMC or one of the competitors that we don't have in this community.
Regal.
Regal, Cineworld.
What about on Outlying Fields?
Yeah. I mean, you know.
If you're going to have an entertainment zone, you know, if you're going to have restaurants and all in the parks and everything else,
but
you're going to have built-in people,
I'd be looking as close to Navy Federal as I could go.
Well, that's it. I mean, right next door.
That's it, right next door.
That's where all the growth is, right? You got all that growth up north and northwest of there, and then all the growth on 9 Mile. It's kind of, you know, hint, hint. Developers, if you're thinking about this stuff. Division One for UWF. You graduated UWF?
No.
Okay. Yeah. But you have kids who went there, right, Craig?
I did.
Okay.
I went there.
Oh, by the way, is the other thing public? Can we say the other thing?
We can say it. Actually, yeah, we're good.
You got a kid into the?
My son was appointed to the Air Force Academy.
That's fantastic.
So,
oh, my God.
Awesome.
Carson's going to the Air Force Academy?
Going to the Air Force Academy. We're really pumped about that.
Buying boots now in order to?
We have to buy the boots now so he can break them in. Yeah.
And get his blisters going and his calluses going.
Correct.
So he's all good?
Yeah.
All right, but he's going to go into Space Force?
He's going to do astronautical engineering with a minor in space warfare.
Okay, wow, fantastic. So, yeah. Well, congratulations.
Super smart kid. Yeah, I don't know where it didn't come from me.
You do know where it happened. Yeah. You and your wife are brilliant. Stop it. Yeah. Come on, don't play dumb with me. I know the truth. All right, so but Division I for UWF, huge announcement that 3 weeks ago, who knew?
Yeah,
I had no idea. They kept, like, just absolutely, that was one of the best kept secrets in Pensacola. Because that, I mean,
and when Rick, you know, kind of was one of the earliest to report it as a rumor kind of thing, I'm like, we'll see, you know. But turned out for sure, yeah. So we're going to D1, assuming we get the money.
Right.
Judy Ben says we got about 700 grand so far. Got to get to 2 million in 2-3 months, whatever.
I don't think that will be a problem.
No, I wouldn't think
all.
So either. No.
No, not in this community.
No, it's no.
Not in this community
of,
and not with
alums,
Dr. Bence.
Right. And with her
Bence
leading the charge. Yeah. She'll walk into a room and people just pull out their checkbooks for sure. I mean, you know it's true.
That's true.
She's
true.
Just like that. She's great. But what do you think?
I mean, it's great. It draws attention to the community. Again, it builds on the quality of life that I was talking about. It's, mm-hmm. it's something that can draw business here. It's something that can draw tourism here.
And just knownness, it's another way Pensacola gets mentioned. Yeah. I kind of liked what, was it Dave Scott or Manny Diaz? I forget who was mentioning. Maybe it was Manny, President Diaz, mentioning yesterday that once we get full eligibility, you know, for participating in postseason, and then you start to have, you know, participation in the tournaments, and then, you know, UWF contends in football and or in basketball or in tennis or in golf, any of these things, you start to get known, said on TV. They're mentioning Pensacola. It's for the teams that get into these tournaments and do well, it's still to this day a bump for them. So it's all advertising
and
promotion of quality and what people want to come here for, right?
Yeah, and I always have to point out, no relation.
Thank you.
No, I think I was just looking. I had not looked at the actual teams that we would be playing football wise, because that's always something for me. Is like,
yeah.
But it doesn't look like anybody that we can't handle. honestly,
early shade. We're not even in the D1 yet.
I'm just saying. I mean, that's the thing.
Well, we're big. Football, we're 16,000 people. Makes us the third largest in the division. It's we're
our
not
football
small
team
players.
has been dominant.
Yes,
from almost day one.
Other teams run away. That's right.
And so the games, while they're fun to go to, it's just like, you know how it is. Sometimes you want a game. You don't want to run away.
Mm-hmm.
So I think this is going to make for a whole lot better football. Obviously, the stadium is going to be huge. I love it for UWF because UWF for a long period of time, when I went there, it kind of felt like it was a commuter school. It really wasn't like a college. It was like, hey, where you go if you're local. I loved it. My education was incredible. My wife is a graduate. But it didn't have the university feel.
Right.
And I think that's changed dramatically with my daughter in there now.
Here's my question, because in this community college.
I'm going to pause you again.
Yep.
All right. PJ's got traffic on the fives.
Still working that vehicle crash with injuries. US 29 at Kingsfield. Looks like traffic's flowing a little bit better there. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
All right. Back to you, Julio.
So in this community, college football is kind of like religion.
Yeah.
You know, you have your, you know, you're either Catholic or you're Presbyterian or whatever. You're either Auburn
FSU
or Alabama,
Auburn.
FSU,
right. Yeah,
Florida,
War Eagle.
LSU.
War Eagle.
How do we think that people are going to change their team that they support to our local team?
Well, you don't have to. They're not.
No, you can
they're
be
in
both
different.
Ends.
They're in the look. So they're not FBS. They're FCS.
It depends on who you're talking about. There.
I don't think that'd be a very long term. I don't think that you know, nobody's going to give up their FSU to be UWF. But in the long run, as the school grows and it gets to be 20, possibly 25,000 students, maybe if they grow enough and push up to the FBS, you know, at that point they start to be that kind of a school.
Yeah,
possibly.
Maybe. I think that for. Like, for me, I grew up in Auburn. Like, it was my family's – it's a family, you know, heritage thing, is yelling at the screen, frustrated at Auburn football. That's what we do Saturdays in the fall.
I graduated
from the
University
of my
Illinois.
Dad cuss.
All I ever get to do is yell at the screen, except for, you know, every once in a while, like right now with the Final Four. Anyway, yeah. I understand you. And
my dad cusses when he works
Auburn
on cars
fans.
And watches Auburn football. Those are the only two times he does it. But I don't – I can't not be an Auburn fan to be a UWF fan, even though I never touched Auburn University.
That's funny.
You know.
And you do have connections to UWF.
Oh, see, yeah, I don't, big connections.
I don't see them as a competition at all. I mean, I'm
no,
a UWF
fan.
No,
I'm going to be a fan of both.
I'm an Auburn fan, and I'm a UWF fan.
Maybe
I don't think of them as any
but,
problem.
You know, it only takes down to the two teams going against each other in the BCS eventually, and I know that's
exactly.
Probably a decade away. But
Well, it will be, I will say, it might be, who do you buy season tickets? Do I buy UWF season tickets or do I buy You know, Auburn season tickets.
Look at you making a good thing into a bad story. So, all right. See, that
could be it.
Kind of the difficulty. All right. Fair enough. Quickly, April Fool's pranks. Are you a pro or a con, Craig?
As a Christian pastor who's always telling the truth. I'm such a con because I'm gullible. I actually texted somebody congratulations for the house that they bought in the Caribbean, Mark Tegenkamp from $50 Eye Guy. He posted this thing, and he was like, we've sold the company. We bought this house in the Caribbean. It's going to be great. And I texted him. I was like, dude, I didn't even hear about this. Congrats. And he goes, it's April Fool's. I was like, son of a biscuit.
I appreciate a well-executed April Fool's plan. I think the problem we have in the social media age is that stuff does not disappear on April 2nd and starts resurfacing.
I got community noted, man. Facebook censored me a little.
Welcome to the show.
Yeah. No
last
kidding.
Night, got a notice Seth MacFarlane taking over Star Trek. It was an April Fool's joke that just popped a day late.
Yeah, because it doesn't, you know, you
but
get the news
that would be great.
5 days later.
Be interesting.
All right. Well, Julio Diaz, Craig Hinesman, as always, thank you for the conversation. And go Argos. And go Illini.
Happy Easter.
Happy Easter.
Stream us at NewsRadio923.com.